and gentlemen, please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Jennifer Chen. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Richard, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Jennifer Chen, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within the 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. You may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenter is Matthew Blissman. Matt started with the Pervasive Customer Support Team in March 2005. In this capacity, he is responsible for focusing on all aspects of customer support for several voice products, such as WebSphere Voice Server and WebSphere Voice Response. He dedicates his time to ensuring that customer satisfaction is constantly met and works closely with Level 3 support and development to drive product and quality enhancements required by the marketplace. Today's topic is troubleshooting WebSphere Voice Server 5.1X. The webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will be open for a question-answer period. If you cannot view the presentation fully, you may want to check the under the view button on the top bar to see if your fit share areas to window and make shared area full screen are unchecked. And you can also adjust the presentation to be more centered by the side and bottom scrolls. If you are in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site by clicking View Presentation link, or by going to any IBM.com site and type in 700-7764 in the search box. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Matt.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. I want to thank everyone for coming today, for joining the presentation. This will be about WebSphere Voice Server troubleshooting tools and techniques. My name is Matthew Schlesman. I think I've already worked with several of you on the call. I've included my email address here on the first slide so that after the presentation, if you do have any questions for me that you think may be a little too involved for the question and answer session, or if you just need some data, go ahead and email me. I'll plan as soon as I can. I'll try and figure out the answers to your questions. All right, we can go to the next slide, on slide 2. This is our agenda for the day. Basically, I'll just go over a few objectives, talk about several of the tools that you can use to do problem determination for the product, go over a couple of the common problems you might see as well as their solutions, and then I'll say if you are unable to solve the problem on your own, I'll describe how to easily open a PMR to get help from IBM support. And finally, I have a page with some web links and references and resources that should be helpful for you. And lastly, there's the question and answer session. Slide 3, please. All right. The objectives for today are basically after you listen to the session, hopefully you'll be able to understand a little more about what tools and techniques are available to troubleshoot the common problems you might see. Hopefully you'll be able to understand how to apply these tools depending on what component of WebSphere Voice Server is failing, as well as diagnose and solve the typical problems. I'll also go into how to gather the most useful data that will help you in this task. And if you, like I said, if you can't solve the problem that way, then I will help you figure out how to get IBM support involved. On to slide 4. All right, this is the high-level overview of WVS 5.1. I'm not really going to get into this because hopefully if you're joining this call, you already know some of the details about how WVS is developed, how it's organized, and what components are involved. I just wanted to throw this graphic in there in case you wanted a quick refresher to see the internal workings. And basically to point out again that WVS 5.1 is a J2EE application on top of WAS now. On top of WAS now, so all configuration and administration will be through the WAS admin console, which I'll get to in a bit. On to slide 5, please. All right, this is one of the most important tools I can point out is the WVS 5.1 Information Center. You're going to get tired of hearing me talk about this through the presentation because on every problem I'm going to tell you to go back and reference the Information Center. The first bullet on this slide shows the link that you can get the latest Info Center. You'll want to use the one off the internet because if you use the one off the CD, it could be out of date. You know, we're constantly updating this, and you'll want the latest data available. From the Information Center, you can see the hardware and software prereqs, what IVRs we support, as well as gateways. We give you some tuning recommendations. We describe configuration, administration, development. We explain how to troubleshoot and how to enable tracing through the WAS console. And we also give you some common problems you might see as well as solutions. And along that lines, we go into troubleshooting by component. So depending on what's not working for you, if your install is not working, your administration, Texas Speech, or your speech recognition engines, if any of those aren't working, we have detailed sections as to common helper tips that might solve the issue for you. On to the next slide. All right, on slide 6 here, the next tool is the collector. This is actually a WAS-based tool. And like it says, like the name says, it's a script that'll gather up several important log files, proxy files, configuration, some operating system information, network information, software levels, as well as many other files. On the right of this slide, I show a sample of what the directory structure of the collector will look like. After you run the collector, it jars up all these log files for you. And if you unjar them, this is the directory structure that you'll see. This is just for reference. Okay, on to the next slide, please. Okay, on slides 7 and 8, I actually get into some of the more important directories and files that you can look at inside the collector. Now, all this data is obviously available to you without running the collector tool. The collector tool is usually something that you might only use when you're working with IBM support. Anytime you open a PMR for Registered Voice Server, we're most likely going to ask you to send this file to us. However, if you want to just collect all these log files and configuration files for yourself instead of hunting them down, it's an easy way to do it. Now, I won't read every line on these two slides because I've detailed it for you here in case you want to read through it. But basically, like I said, it has several files that will help you locate what your network is set up for, your IP setup, operating system, if your WVS gear has been successfully installed, what the WVS properties are, and an important one, which I'll also bring back up again later, is the WVS install log. Next, the a directory listing of several directories, for example, the Via Voice directory, which has ASR speech recognition components, and directory listings of WVS, of WAS, of TTS directories. We have IBM TTS properties file, the TTS installation log for the engines, as well as the debug log for the TTS engines. On to slide 8, please. And the last two bullets on slide 8 are two of the more important files that the collector will grab, that you're going to probably go directly to when you're doing problem determination. These are the trace.log and the systemout.log. The trace.log is the WAS and WVS trace log. This is where, once you enable tracing through the WAS admin console, which I'll go into in a second, this is where all the data is written. And the systemout.log is the WAS and WVS JVM log. This is where any informational messages, warning messages, error messages, they all get written to the systemout.log. This is also shown if you go through your WAS admin console. At the bottom of the screen, you'll see the runtime and configuration errors. For the runtime messages, these map to the same systemout messages that you'll see, the JVM log. Okay, on to slide 9, please. Okay, this Now I'll now talk about the WDS logging, and as I said, this goes to systemout.log. Basically, all WDS messages are identified by a 10-character ID, starting with the prefix CWV. CWV is the IBM registered prefix for WDS within WAS. Following that 3-character prefix, you'll see a 2-character WDS component ID, followed by a 4-character numeric message ID and a 1-character severity type, be it I for information, W for warning, or E for error. Now, this is described in further detail in the Info Center, in the WDS Info Center, and I include a link at the bottom of slide 9 for you to read further. And it lists, there's a table on that site in the Info Center that describes each WDS component ID as well as what it stands for, and it'll also, there's also sections you can expand to, depending on which component ID, it'll show you the descriptions of each of the numeric errors that can be associated with it, as well as a possible solution. Okay, on to slide 10, please. Alright, on slide 10 I've included an excerpt from system.outlog. This is an example of a typical startup scenario for WDS. Now, if you've ever worked with WAS before, you'll know that one of the first things you can check in the system out log is to verify if WAS was able to successfully start. You can do this by looking for the string open for e-business. Now that's not on this slide, because I figured that's a WAS message and hopefully you've already seen that before. But when looking in this log, it's always good to make sure that's there anyway. To actually start the debug process of WVS, you can search for the top line there that's highlighted in red. That's the starting application, WVS 5.1, dash, and then the host name, in this case, for my example. This is still a WAS message. This is, starting up the J2E application. And if you look down about halfway through the slide, you'll see the first informational message coming from us, which has the prefix CWV, says that it's now trying to start Webster Voice Server. Following that line is an important line of note as well. This will tell you the WVS version number and build date. That way, if you need contact support or if you're wondering if you need to apply the latest fix level, this will tell you what you're currently at. Following that, you'll see a few messages for the recognizer for the ASR engines. It shows some configuration properties, followed by the next line in bold will show that your ASR engine has successfully started by searching for the recognizer initialization line there. And in this case, you can see that the English ASR engine has successfully started. In this case, we've only configured one engine, but it has started appropriately. Next, you'll see that you can also check for the TTS engine has started correctly by searching for the starting synthesizer or synthesizer startup complete message. And once again, we only have one TTS engine configured in this case, but it was able to start successfully. If there are any problems, you'll see, instead of the informational messages, you'll see messages that end, message IDs that end in E or W, saying that your engines had difficulties, and then you can map those directly to the information center. All ten character message IDs are mapped into the info center. Finally, you'll see that the process of starting WVS has completed by searching for either the Webster Voice Server started or the application started for your J2E application. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, for slide 11, I will show a little bit. On slide 11 and slide 12, I'll show a couple of examples that you might see in your system out log. These are some errors that have been seen in the past, and now these ones are kind of self-explanatory to a point, but it's more or less to, once again, point you to, if you get any error or warning message or information message, that it can be looked up in the WDS Information Center online. For example, on this first slide, on slide 11, we have a recognizer error. Now this one, as the error message says, it's already pretty self-explanatory. It's saying that the syntax or semantic error in your grammar has occurred. And then if you map that into the information center, you can see that the user response is, please correct your grammar. Simple enough, as it may be. If after you've searched for this grammar and you just can't seem to figure it out, then that would be the time to go ahead and contact IBM support. Okay, on the next slide. All right, slide 12 here is another example of an error you might see. This one is also from the recognizer, from the ASR. This one, however, is a pool exception, saying that with the string empty ASR pool for your, in this case, Chinese ASR engine. When mapping this into the information center, you will see that it was unable to get the appropriate resources it needs from your pool of ASR engines. And in this case, you'll probably want to increase the number of configured engines that you have. Go to the next slide. All right, now I'll talk a little bit about the tracing. All WBS tracing goes to the trace.log under the WAS directory, the WAS log directory. Tracing is, by default, it's disabled, and you really want to leave it that way, usually unless IBM support asks you to turn it on. This is because once you turn tracing on, there'll be a slight performance hit, and it'll also start to write a lot of data to your disk. So it's possible that you don't want your disk to fill up and cause any system problems. However, all WBS tracing is enabled through the WAS admin console based on what component you want to monitor. And this is described in great detail in the WBS Information Center. And at the bottom of slide 13, I have a link to the main tracing page that'll help you out. This page has a few tables that describe the different WBS components you can enable tracing on. For example, whether it be WBS like base configuration or ASR components or TTS components or like grammar compiler, things of that sort. If you are having problems, say, if you want to investigate the audio problems, if you're having audio problems, then you'd probably want to trace the components, the RTSP bridge and media converter. Now, like I said, when you do this, for this specific case, it'll start to record all your utterances that go through. And if you have a lot of calls, this is going to collect a lot of data. So that's why it's usually a good idea to leave tracing off and to only do it if you're comfortable searching through the tracing and debugging, or if IBM support has asked you to do so. On to the next slide, please. Okay, on slide 14, this is just a screenshot of where you would enable the tracing for WBS if you need to. As it's described in the Info Center, you log onto your WAS admin console and go to the troubleshooting section, the logs and trace. Select your server, which is usually server 1, and then select diagnostic trace service. In the middle of the page, you'll see the trace specification, and right now it's selected to all disabled. If you want to change this, go ahead and click that modify button, and you'll bring up a list of all the components you can turn on. The ones you'll want to pay attention to for WBS are, in the middle of the page there, are the IBM WBS ASR, IBM WBS TTS, and IBM WBS. Each of those you can expand and see the subcomponents of. And in this slide here, I have the RTSP bridge selected, but I haven't applied it yet. That's why it doesn't show on the main admin console page. Okay, if you can go to the next slide, please. All right, I'll now talk briefly about the voice trace analyzer. After you've enabled tracing, you can use this tool to help you get a comprehensive overview of your system's recognition performance, as well as improve your awareness of some of the problems you might be seeing. This is a tool that comes shipped with the Webster Voice Toolkit, which is shipped on the WBS CDs. However, it's not automatically installed. But if you are using WBS, you'll most likely be using the toolkit because it's such a great development tool to use. So after you enable the tracing through the WAS admin console, all the traces are going to be written to the trace log under the WAS directory whenever WBS processes any MRCP request. after you've collected these trace logs, and if you have archived trace logs as well, when you run the WVS collector tool, it'll gather all those traces up, and then you can import the jar file into the voice trace analyzer within the toolkit. Upon doing this, actually upon running the collector tool, it'll remove any utterances that had been recorded to free up space on your system, just as a convenience. But when you import it into the trace analyzer, you can then filter all your sessions, display your recognitions, your different grammars, the problems of the call flow, and statistics. So it's a really helpful tool to use. And the last bullet on slide 15 is, once again, a link to the Info Center. And this is the page that will help you better understand the voice trace analyzer and give you some more directions. On to the next slide, please. All right, slide 16. I'll start getting into some of the common problems you might see. And actually, this slide mainly talks about installation. As you see there, the first log I mentioned is the CWZ install log. This is where all your installation messages will go during the install of WVS. This, if you're having trouble, if this is a new install on the system and things seem to be going wrong, this is one of the first logs you're going to want to check just to make sure that the install actually was successful. Next, if you're having trouble with installation, you'll also want to look at the system output log. This is a standard one that you'll be looking at constantly. After you've run installation, we ask you to run the installation verification test. And if you call in to IBM support saying you're having trouble with a new system, we'll be asking you this, run this anyway. This is launched from the First Steps application. It basically just gives you after you've installed, it gives you right away, it provides you with information of was your installation successful or did it fail. It'll show you results from your ASR engines and your TTS engines to make sure they're working appropriately. And if everything looks all right, then great. You can continue along with deployment and development. If not, then hopefully you can match up the errors in the logs with the troubleshooting in the information center. On to the next slide. All right, on slide 17, I'm still talking about installation. If you, for instance, if you're on AIX and WAS or WVS seem to be failing to start, you can, and if you have this error message I've listed as failed to start transport on host port 9090, this is a common problem of prior to the installation, if you didn't disable the WebSM service, as we describe in our installation guide, then WebSM will be trying to use this port and will stop WAS and WVS from using it for the admin console. So by running, you can see this by either running the netstat command, which your AIX administrator should know, or if you check the SC services file, you can see that there's a line in there for port 9090, and it's already dedicated to WebSM. So you'd have to comment that out and restart your machine. This is described in the Information Center, of course. In the next bullet, we talk about what if your installation completed, but IVT didn't work. First things you want to check, make sure WAS has started, make sure your WVS server has started, make sure your ASR and TTS engines have started. All of these can be done through the admin console, and this is actually something I should have put in the presentation as well. One of the other great tools besides the Information Center is the admin console, and that's something you'll want up pretty much all the time as well. Through the admin console, you'll be able to see if all these engines and the servers are started successfully, and if not, you'll be able to click on the error messages at the bottom of the page. Other possibilities, if all these have been started, it's possible that your speech root environment variable hasn't been set. This can happen if this is for WVS 511, 512, this can happen if you haven't run the WVS set ENV. However, for WVS 513, since we already add these to the SE profile, if the speech root isn't set, then there's been a problem with either your user logon hasn't run the SE profile, or it hasn't been added to that file, meaning that your installation might not have completed successfully. Following that, you'll just have to look at some of the errors in the logs, if there are any, and try to map those to the Info Center. The next slide, please. All right, if you have been struggling and you can't seem to figure out the installation errors you're getting, many times you may just want to try to reinstall, give it another shot. In this case, you want to make sure that you've run the WVS uninstall script. Even if you don't think WVS has totally successfully installed, you want to make sure you run this uninstall script to try and clean your system. After doing that, you want to make sure that your voice server and app server directories have been removed. If they aren't removed, then it can cause problems on subsequent installs. Finally, you want to make sure that your system believes that WVS has been uninstalled and doesn't show any components still on the system. For example, if you check for AIX, if you check Smithy, or as described in the Info Center, there's a vpd.properties file that may still have lines for WVS or for WAS. Okay, on the next line. All right, now I'll go into a little bit about one of the common problems you might see for text-to-speech. There's an issue where if you're trying to load multiple text-to-speech voices onto the same machine, you might have timeout problems or they just won't load. It'll give you errors that they can't load up or it might take a long time. This has been known because of the amount of resources on the system, the amount of memory you have. For AIX, if you're trying to load over four voices, you'll want to add the following export statement to your profile. This will increase the maximum number of shared memory segments. And similarly, for Windows 2003, if you're trying to load over three voices, there's a known issue on Windows, as documented on the Microsoft site, which I've included there, where for 2003, by default, they specify 2 gigabytes of contiguous memory for application programs. In the Info Center and on Microsoft page, they tell you how to change that to be 3 gigabytes instead. That should allocate more contiguous memory for your applications and should allow you to load more voices. On to the next slide. Alright, now this can be a problem for both TTS and your speech recognition engine. You can have some reliability issues. Performance, the engine's timing out, failover messages, or in worst case, Windows stopping, crashing. This has been seen when you have antivirus software installed. Our first suggestions are, of course, update the antivirus to the latest version. You can try disabling the scanning of the WVS directories, or in a last-ditch effort, you can try to uninstall the antivirus software. On the next slide. All right, if all has been said and done, if you think you may need help from IBM support, after following the Information Center, then prior to opening a PMR, we ask you to try these few steps. Once again, check out the Information Center and the tech notes that are available on our WVS support site, which I've included a link to there on slide 21. Next, if you are able to, apply the latest WVS fix pack. This will be, once again, described on our support site where you can download this. Following that, you'll want to go ahead and gather the following information. These are common questions we're going to ask you on an initial PMR creation. For example, have you made any changes to the system recently? Any PTFs? Any security changes that your company has implemented? Has the system functioned in the past, or is this a new install? If it has been working in the past, then we have to try and figure out what has changed on the system. It's just your application is new. That's still valuable information for us. Next, if you could give us a detailed scenario of how to recreate the problem. That way, we'll know, one, what you are doing, and two, it may be able to allow us to replicate the problem here in our lab in case it is a true defect that needs to be fixed. Following that, it's good to know what IVR you're using. There are different situations that can occur depending on what IVR. So some of those are already documented in the Information Center, but otherwise it's still good for us. And finally, you'll want to go ahead and run the collector tool, because almost every PMR that you open will request that data. The last bullet here on the page talks about how WVS 513 supports the IBM Support Assistant tool. This allows you to create a new PMR and automatically collect and send the data required to IBM Support. This will save you a lot of time and speed up the process to hopefully find a solution to your problem. This tool is not automatically installed with WVS, but it's very easy to install. You down off this site. That's the links on the bottom of slide 21. You can download the tool as well as the WAS and WVS plugins for it. Following that, you'll be able to log in, and it'll automatically run the collector for you. It'll point you to some appropriate links, such as our support site and the information center, as I've already described. But it's just a really good tool to use. On to the next slide. All right, and slide 22, I list a few resources you can use. These have already been mentioned for the most part. For example, the first one is our support site. And the next one on there is for ESR. This is, if you don't want to use ISA, ESR is the next tool in line that you'll probably want to use. This will let you create new PMRs and send data through your web browser. Now, this won't automatically collect the data for you, but it still helps to speed up the process. If you don't want to use that either, if you just want to deal straight with IBM with level 1 support, then you can go ahead and call the 1-800-IBM-SERV, and you'll speak to a level 1 personnel. Now, the reason we recommend using ISA or ESR is because through those, you'll be able to monitor the PMR yourself, as well as add all the information you want to add, as descriptive as you can be. Because if you call the 1-800-IBM-SERV, you know, on occasion, the level 1 support personnel, they don't necessarily know all the details about the product, so they won't be able to record all the information that might be needed for initial contact. When you do use any of these tools, I've included the component ID for WVS. This will help get it to the right queue, which I've also listed below, and so that there's no delay for getting support. The next bullet talks about ISA. This is, as I mentioned before, a great tool to use. Following that is a link to the where you can download or you can access the Information Center from our WVS library site. And lastly, I talk about the WVS news group. If you have any general questions, they can be posted to this news group, and we'll try to get back to you, or the community will try to get back to you as soon as they can. On to the next slide. All right, this last slide is about some additional resources you can access. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Firstly, DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the support pages points you to webcast and conference information. If you visit WebSphere.org, you can find user group information and more product details. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up and learning, and, of course, the ESR tool, which I've mentioned before. This is for Password Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And finally, the My Support link on all product pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products that are of interest to you, which is there's a good chance that you already get if you are listening to this webcast, because it was displayed through those emails. All right, that's the end of my basic presentation. I will turn it back to Jennifer.
Thank you, Matt, for a great presentation. At this point, Richard, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn it over to our presenter.
And if you would like to signal for a question today, please press *1 on your touchtone telephone at this time. If you're on a speakerphone, make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment.
If you do have any other questions, like I said, I've provided my email address at the beginning of this presentation. I'm more than welcome to help and find the answers you might need. Or if this session wasn't exactly what you were looking for, if you're looking for more detail, please go ahead and let me know that as well. And if there's enough interest, then either myself or someone else on my team may provide another troubleshooting session for Voice Server, more detailed or more specific to a certain topic. So any of those would be greatly appreciated.
And it appears we have no questions. I will turn it back to Ms. Chen for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Richard. At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Matt, for presenting today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude our teleconference for today. Once again, we do thank you for your participation, and you may disconnect at this time.